Okay, right, today we're going to take a look at the matrix multiplication problem that was introduced in the last lecture. If you recall, in this problem, we are given a sequence of matrices, M1 through MQ, and the objective is to come up with a plan for computation of this matrix product sequence or chain. So we're not actually interested in multiplying these Q matrices and coming up with a single matrix that is the result of the product, but we want to come up with a plan which tells us how we should perform this sequence of matrix multiplications. Okay, so we're going to come up with a dynamic programming solution to determine the best plan. And in coming up with the solution, we will use some notation. And the notation will be that the number of rows and columns in a matrix I is given by R sub I, that's the number of rows in matrix I, and Ri plus 1, well, that gives you the number of columns in the ith matrix. Okay. All right. Right, so the plan that we're coming up with is going to involve a total of Q minus 1 matrix multiplications. You start off with Q matrices, and each time you multiply a pair of matrices, you reduce the number of matrices by 1. So following Q minus 1 multiplications, you're going to be left with a single matrix. So the objective is to decide the matrices that will be involved in each of these Q minus 1 multiplications. And so in order to come up with a dynamic programming solution, we need to first come up with a decision sequence. Okay, what is the sequence in which we're going to make these Q minus 1 decisions? Again, recall each decision tells us which matrices are involved in that particular matrix product that you're going to do. Okay, so to first look at this as a result of a decision of sequences, we're going to actually say that we're going to decide these Q minus 1 matrix products in the reverse order, which means that we are going to first decide what the last matrix multiplication is going to be. Now, if you look at this sequence here, we can see that the last product is going to involve some front part. So maybe you go from M1 to M3. So you've already computed that product. And then M4 through MQ, the result of that. Okay. So the first decision we're going to make is the very last product you do in this Q minus 1 matrix products, what does that look like? And it's going to be something like what I just said. You take the result of multiplying these first three matrices and multiply it with the result of multiplying the remaining matrices on the right. Okay. So once we have decided what the last product is going to be, then we're going to decide, well, what is the next to last product, and so on. Okay. So the sequence of decisions is a reverse sequence. First decide on the last multiplication that's going to be done, then decide on the next to last multiplication, and so on. Okay. All right, so that way we have a sequence of Q minus 1 decisions that needs to be made. Once you have determined what your decision sequence is going to be, well, then you can worry about a formulation for the problem state. Okay. And to come up with this formulation, we first make the observation that the matrices that are going to be involved in any multiplication, okay, are a contiguous subset of the given Q matrices. So for example, we just took a look at the last product that's going to be done. Well, the last product's going to involve the result of some contiguous set of matrices from the left side. Okay, so maybe we take this contiguous set, M1 through M3, okay, and then the remainder, M4 through MQ. So we're never really going to be multiplying, say, some sequence from some subsequence from the left side, maybe you've computed M1 times M2, and then you are trying to maybe multiply that with the result of M6 times M7. You're always looking at a contiguous sequence, and they're also adjacent. Okay. All right, the problem state then, once you realize that you're going to deal with a contiguous set of matrices at any time, is given by a pair of the form I, j, where the I gives us the leftmost matrix in the contiguous sequence you're working with, and the j gives you the rightmost matrix in the contiguous sequence that you're working with. Okay. All right, so the pair ij denotes a problem. It's a which involves a contiguous subsequence of the matrices that was given, and the contiguous subsequence we're going to be dealing with is the matrices which are M sub I through M sub j. Okay. So the initial state of the problem, we're dealing with the entire sequence, so that's given by 1 comma q, which means the matrices M1 through MQ are to be multiplied. Okay. Now, to see how the states change, okay, a state may be given by one pair of the form I, j, or you may actually have a whole bunch of pairs, so it's a set of pairs, and initially it's just a single pair, 1q, but suppose you have decided on the last matrix multiplication, okay? So, and the last matrix multiply, the parsing is you take the result of M1 through MK, so you, somehow you've computed that, and then you take the right sequence, which is MK plus 1 through MQ. Okay. So your initial state was 1Q. Okay. And then you've decided the last product is going to be broken up at the point K. So that then says that this thing here is given by the pair 1K, and that's given by the pair K plus 1Q. So we transform from a state in which we have a single pair 1Q to a state in which we have two pairs 1k and k plus 1q. Okay. And when you make the next decision somewhere, let's say it's on this one, well, then this state will split into two states. Okay. Or this pair will split into two pairs to get you the new state. Okay. All right. All right, so we have a formulation now for the sequence of decisions. We're going to decide on the Q minus 1 matrix products backwards from the last down to the first. We have a formulation for the state. It's given by a set of pairs. Each pair defines a smaller problem, which involves a set of contiguous matrices. Then we need to verify the principle of optimality, which simply says that if you are trying to find an optimal solution for some state, well, then once you make your first decision, or you make a decision, you get a new state, and your optimal solution to the initial problem must be one that involves having the optimal solution to the new state. Okay, so suppose you look at a single pair, so you're looking at a single sequence like this, MI through MJ, and if the last multiplication, so that's really your first decision, is you're going to break it up at the point K, okay? Then, okay, it's not hard to see that regardless of where you break it up, okay, regardless of the value of K, okay, if you supposedly have an optimal solution, an optimal plan for the computation of MIJ, well then, the optimal plan must be made up of optimal plan for this pair, MIK, and also for that one. If you don't compute this in the optimal fashion, then you can replace its computation by an optimal one, lowering the overall cost to compute MIJ. Okay, okay. So the observation one has to make is that if you're looking at a pair in your state, then once you make a decision on that pair for the first product that's going to be done, or you make the first decision, which really is the last product for that pair, then the remaining decisions must give you an optimal way to compute MIK and also an optimal way to compute MK plus 1J. Otherwise, you don't have an optimal way to compute MIJ. Okay. All right, so to come up with a dynamic programming solution, the initial steps were look at your solution as the result of a sequence of decisions. In our case, that meant we're going to decide on each of the Q minus 1 matrix products that have to be done in a sequence, one after the other, and that sequence was going to be first decide on the last product, then decide on the next to last product, and so on. Okay. The next thing was to come up with the problem state. Okay. And usually, once you have decided on the sequence of decisions, the problem state follows. And in our case, once you had decided the sequence of decisions, you saw that you had to make the observation that you were always going to be dealing with a subsequence of contiguous matrices. And so that subsequence could be given by a pair, which gave you the left matrix in the subsequence and the right matrix in the subsequence. And then you have a collection of these pairs. All right, once you have the notion of the problem state taken care of, you then have to verify that the principle of optimality holds for your sequence of decisions and problem state formulation. And in this particular case, that actually is true. So we can now proceed to the next step, which is to set up the recurrence equation. Okay. So to set up the recurrence equation, we will define some functions. For example, we'll have the function C, which will give us the optimal, will give us the cost of the best way to compute a subsequence product. Okay. So Cij is the best way to compute Mij, and Mij, if you recall, is Mi times Mi plus 1 times Mi plus 2 all the way down to Mj. As a result of this definition of Cij, C1q gives us the cost of the best way to multiply the given q matrices. Okay, so C1q is the best way to compute M1q, and M1q is M1 times M2 times M3 down to M sub q. Okay. Now, we're not interested just in finding the cost of the best way to compute our sequence of matrices. We actually want the whole plan, okay, which is which matrices get involved in every single product that you're going to do in your Q minus 1 product sequence. And for that, okay, we will need to keep track of the decisions that we make along the way. Okay. And so we're going to define a variable k, k-a-y, okay, of ij, and this will give us the last product that is done in the optimal way to compute Mij. Okay. So Kij is gives you the place where you break up the subsequence Mij, so it's going to be Mik times Mk plus 1j. Okay. All right, so with these definitions in place, C and K, we can proceed now to define some C values, and then we'll set up a recurrence for other C values. Okay. So when I equals J, okay, so Cii, at that time, you're trying to figure out the best way to compute Mii, and Mii simply involves a single matrix M sub I. Okay. So Mii equals Mi according to our definition of Mij. And in this case, there's really no product to be performed. Okay. So the cost of the best way to compute Mii is zero, the cost being the number of matrix, the number of multiplies that have to be done, and there are no multiplies to be done, so the cost is zero. Okay. The value of Kii, okay, the last product that is done in the optimal way to compute Mii, well, there is no last product. There is only one matrix there. There is no product at all. And so K is, strictly speaking, undefined. But to give it a value, we may just put in the value 0. Okay. Doesn't correspond to any valid matrix index. The indexes are between 1 and q. Okay. All right, so proceeding forward with our computation or definition of C's, if you look at Cij, where j is 1 more than I, okay, so Cii plus 1. Well, Cii plus 1, according to our definition, is the cost of the best way to compute Mii plus 1, and Mii plus 1 is the product of two matrices, Mi and Mi plus 1. Okay. So in this case, you really have no choice. You have to do this single product over here. You have to take Mi and multiply it by Mi plus 1. Okay. There is only one way to compute Mi plus 1, and that is to do the single product that's shown here. And the cost of this is given by the number of rows in this matrix times the number of columns in this matrix, which also equals the number of rows in the next matrix times the number of columns in the next matrix. Okay. So the number of rows in Mi is Ri, the number of columns is Ri plus 1, and the number of columns in the next matrix is Ri plus 2. And so the cost of the best and only way to compute Mii plus 1 is given as Ri times Ri plus 1 times Ri plus 2. Okay. For the k value, again, there is no choice. When you're computing Mii plus 1, you have no choice but to split it so that you're doing Mii times Mi plus 1 I plus 1. Okay. So the k values is, when you're computing Mii plus 1, it's Mii times Mi plus 1, I plus 1. Mii is just Mi. Mi plus 1, I plus 1 is just Mi plus 1. Okay. So the k value corresponding to this case is just I. Okay. All right, so that takes care of the of two important cases. One is when the sequence of matrices you're dealing with has only one matrix in it. And the second case is when the sequence you're dealing with has two matrices in it. And in both of these cases, you really have no choice as to how you're going to compute the result. Okay. All right, moving on now to cases where you have more than two matrices involved. In that case, the difference between the first parameter to C and the second parameter to C would be more than 1. Okay. In fact, the value of S is closely related to the number of matrices in the subsequence you're dealing with. When S is 0, you had the Cii case. So there's only one matrix in the subsequence. When S is 1, that's the II plus 1 case we just saw. There are two matrices there. When S is 2, there will be three matrices. When S is 3, there will be four matrices. And when S is Q minus 1, then you'd be doing the case of all Q matrices. Okay. All right, so now let's turn our attention to the case when S is bigger than 1. And at this time, suppose that the last multiplication, okay, so you're doing Mii plus S, and the last one is Mik times Mk plus 1 I plus S. That means we're going to split this subsequence down at the matrix K. Okay. All right, then we know that K has to be in the range from I through 1 less than I plus S. And unfortunately, we don't know what K is. We don't know where to do the split. But what we do know is that if somehow we knew where to do the split, if we knew the value of K, well, then we'd be able to write down the equation for Cii plus S. Okay. So if you knew the value of K, then we know that Cii plus S would be you compute Mik in the optimal fashion, and its cost would be Cik. You would compute Mk plus 1 I plus S in the optimal fashion, and its cost would be that. And then to do the last product, the cost would be number of rows in the first matrix times the number of columns in the first matrix times the number of columns in the second matrix. So the number of rows in the first matrix is Ri. The number of columns in Mik is Rk plus 1. And the number of columns in Mk plus 1 I plus S is I plus S plus 1, okay? So number of rows in the first matrix times the number of columns in the first matrix times the number of columns in the second matrix gives you the cost for that last product. Okay. Then we had argued earlier that in an optimal computation of a subsequence, you must do the left subsequence optimally and the right subsequence optimally, so you end up with this plus that plus that. Okay. All right, unfortunately, we don't know k. However, what we do know is that k is one of the numbers in the range I through I plus s minus 1. Okay. So knowing that, what we can conclude is that k or ci I plus s must be the smallest of the values you can compute here on the right-hand side over all possible choices for k. Okay. All right, so first we come up with an equation not knowing what k is, namely this one, and then we resolve the problem that we don't know what k is by noting that k must be such that the right-hand side here is minimum across all possible choices for k. Okay. So now you end up with this equation that's given down below, which says that to find the value of ci I plus s, you'd simply take the smallest of this right-hand side over all possible permissible values of k. All right, so this gives us the recurrence equation that we need. Okay, if we okay. All right, finally, we note that k I I plus s, okay, is simply the value of k that minimizes the right-hand side. All right, so that's our recurrence. And we need to then figure out how we solve this recurrence. To solve this recurrence, what we note is that the number of matrices that are involved on the left-hand side, okay, right, which is here in the computation of ci I plus s, okay, so the number of matrices that are involved out here is really s plus 1, okay, and the number that are involved in each of the terms out here, okay. Over here, you got to have one fewer matrix as we've cut this thing up at some point k, so the left subsequence can't have as many matrices as we have here in ci I plus s, and the right subsequence cannot have as many as there. So the number of matrices involved in this computation is at least one less than on the left side. The number involved out here is also at least one less than the left side. Okay, so the terms on the right-hand side involve fewer matrices than do the than does the single term on the left side. And what that tells you is that the way you solve this recurrence is by first solving it for a small number of matrices. Like in our case, we had a different way to figure it out when you had zero matrices and when you had one. And then you go and work it out for 2 and 3 and 4 and so on. Okay, so the computation will be done okay, in the order, first compute all of the terms ci I plus s for s equals 2. Okay. We already know ci I plus s for s equals 0 and 1. Okay, for that, we didn't use the recurrence equation. We'll first compute it for s equals 2, and then on the right-hand side, we will need values for the case of s equals 0 and 1. Having computed all the terms with s equals 2, we'll then do it for s equals 3. And when we're doing the s equals 3 computations, on the right, we will need the results for the 0, 1, and 2 cases, which we already got. Okay? And so on until we work our way up to the case when s is q minus 1. At that time, we'll be computing actually only a single value on the left side, 1 comma q. Okay. Okay. Now, once you have the recurrence equation down, the temptation, of course, is to come up with a recursive code. And we aren't going to look at the recursive code in class here, but the codes are there in the text. And there are two codes. There's one which doesn't take care to avoid recomputing CIJs that have already been computed. And that code runs in exponential time, 2 to the q. There's another code which avoids the recomputation of already computed C values, and that code runs in cube time. Okay. Now, in class, we're going to take a look at the non-recursive way to solve these recurrences. And the non-recursive version would generally work in less time than the recursive version, even the recursive one that avoids recomputation, because the overheads would be less. All right, so to look at the non-recursive code, we'll actually just go through an example rather than just put up some Java code for you to look at. The example we're going to look at is going to involve four matrices. Q is four. The first of these has 10 rows and one column. Then you have a 1 by 10, a 10 by 1, and a 1 by 10. Okay. If you look at the R values, okay. So the R values, you just pull out the number of rows in the first one, that's 10, number of columns in the second one, that's 1, number of columns in the next one, number of columns, and number of columns. Okay. So you take the number of rows from the first followed by all of the number of columns, that gives you the R vector. And from this, you can construct back the dimensions of the matrices. So R1 and R2 give you the dimensions of the first matrix. R2 and R3 give you the dimensions of the next one. And then R3 and R4 would give you the dimensions of the third matrix. And finally, R4 and R5 would give you the dimensions of the fourth matrix. Okay, so the C and the K matrices we want to compute all have the property that the first parameter to the C as well as to the K must be less than or equal to the second parameter. Okay. So we're not computing a whole Q by Q matrix of C and K values. We're just looking at really the upper triangle. Okay. So we have to compute these C values and those K values. Okay. So let's start with the case when S is 0. Recall that when S is 0, there's only one matrix involved and there are no products to be done. And the C's and the K's that we have to compute, there are four of them, C11 through C44, similarly K11 through K44. Okay. All right, so for S equals 0, we're going to be computing the values on the diagonal. Okay, these are the ones, C11, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. And similarly here, K11, K22, 3, 3, 4, 4. When we go to the S equals 1 case, we'll be computing the next diagonal. Okay? And then in the S equals 2 case, the next diagonal, and S equals 4, the following diagonal. Okay? So the computation is going to be done by diagonal, starting with the main diagonal, and then moving up one diagonal at a time till you reach that final corner. Okay. All right, so for CII and KII, we know that all of the C's, CIIs are zero. There's no multiplication involved. There's only a single matrix. So all of these diagonal entries will be zero. For the Ks, Ks are really undefined, but we said just to be concrete, we'll give it a value of zero. It doesn't correspond to a legal matrix index. The indexes are 1 through Q, and so a K value of zero would tell you there's no product to be done. All right, so we just put in zeros along the two diagonals. That takes care of those. Then we're ready to proceed to the case when S is 1. Okay. All right, so when S is 1, we're going to be computing the CII plus 1s and KII plus 1s. As I said earlier, we're looking at these three values on this diagonal and these three on that next diagonal here. Our formula that we arrived at earlier said when you're doing CII plus 1, it's just a single matrix product involved. There are two matrices, MI and MI plus 1, and the value of CII plus 1 is given as the product of these three R values, and the value of K is simply I. Okay. All right, so to get the C values, okay, if you want the value here, which is C12, we have to take the product of R1, R2, and R3. So 10 times 1 times 10, that gives you 100. Okay. And then the K value is just the value of I, which is 1. So K out here would be a 1. Okay. All right, going to this one here, we have to take R2 times R3 times R4. So that's 1 times 10 times 1, that's a 10. And then the K value here is just going to be I, which is 2. All right, coming to this one here, we have to now do we have to do R3 times R4 times R5. Okay. So R3 is 10, R4 is 1, R5 is 10. So we get another 100 to plop down there. And the K value here is going to just be the value of I, which is 3. Okay. Okay, so we use our formula for S equals 1, and we get the next diagonal. All right, so now we proceed to the next diagonal up that corresponds to S equals 2. Okay, so we're looking at computing these two terms here and those two terms over here. Okay. All right, our recurrence for the case of 2 is this. Okay, so I've just taken the recurrence we had before for S equals 2 and gone through the expanded out the right side. There were two possibilities when you're trying to compute MI I plus 2. You either break it at I or you break it at I plus 1. Okay, so you look at both possibilities, compute these sums, and take the smaller of the two. Okay. All right, so here are our values. So first we're going to compute this one here, which is C13. Okay. So to get C13, we're going to take the smaller of C11, C2, 3, and then that product. And then this is going to be C12 and C33 plus that stuff. Okay. All right, so expanding it out, we're going to take the smaller C11 plus C23 and then this product, and C12, C33 and that product. Okay. All right, so computing this, C11 is a 0, C23 is a 10. Okay. So you got a 0 plus 10, and then R1, R2, R4. R1, R2, that's 10 times 1 times 1. So C11 is a 0, C23 is a 10, and then R1, R2, R4, that's 10 times 1 times 1, so that's a 10. Okay, so the first term up over here in the min works out to be 20. The second one is C12, so C12 is 100, plus C33, which is a 0. Okay, so 100 plus 0. Plus R1, R3, R4. So R1 is a 10, R3 is a 10, and R4 is a 1. So you get 10 times 10 times 1. Okay. All right, so we get this one out here, 100 plus 0 plus 100 is 200. Okay. So it's the min of 20 and 200, and so you get the value 20. Okay. For the K value here, we need to know which choice gave us this result 20. This one had a K equals 1. And that one had a K equals 2, the breakpoint. So over here, we're going to get K equals 1. Okay. All right, now we're ready to compute the value over there. Okay. All right, so putting things into our recurrence for 2, 4, the choices were you either break it at 2, that corresponds to this, or you break it at 3, and that corresponds to this. All right, plugging in the values, C22 is a 0, C34, it's already computed, it's sitting out here, it's 100. Okay, so 0 plus 100. R2, R3, R5, that's 1 times 1 times 10. 1 times 10, R2, R3, so 1 times 10 times 10, so that's another 100. Okay, so the first term in the min evaluates to 200. For the next term, you have 2, 3, so C23 is a 10, C44 is a 0, R2, R4, R5, so that's 1 times 1 times 10, so that's another 10. Okay, so you get a 20. Okay, so it's either 200 or it's 20. The smaller is 20, so this value here is going to be 20. For the k value, we need to figure out which of these two gave us the smaller one. That's the right term, and the right term corresponds to k equals 2. Okay. Sorry, corresponds to k equals 3. Okay, so we broke it up at 3. Okay, if you look back here, okay, the first one here tells you where you broke it, so the breakpoint is 3. Okay. All right, so now we've got it for the case s equals 2. We proceed now to the case s equals 3. Okay. So for s equals 3, we go back to our recurrence. The choices, okay, here, of course, we had to compute only one value, C14. And the choices for the breakpoint are k equals 1, that gives us this term, or k equals 2, which gives us this term here, or k equals 3, which gives us that term over there. Okay, so the choices are break it at k equals 1, that's M11, or break it at k equals 2, that's you compute M12 times M34, or you break it at k equals 3, you're computing M13 times M44. Okay, so look at all three of the cases, and for each of these cases, we compute the cost function, C11 plus C24 plus R1, R2, R5, and so on, and then take the smallest of the three. All right, so all of the terms on the right-hand side are already known to us. C11 is 0, C24 is 20, R1, R2, R5, R1, 10 times 1 times 10, so that's 100. Okay, so 0, 20, 100. Okay. Similarly, we get the next one, C12, C34, R1, R3, R5. That works out to this thing here. And then we get the third one, which is C13, C44, R145, which is given out here. Okay. So the first of the terms works out to 120, the second one is 1200, and the third one is 120. You have a tie. When you have a tie, you pick any one of the fellows. So we could either go with this one, which is k equals 1, or we could go with this one, which is k equals 3. Whichever way you go, down here you're going to get the value 120. And depending on how you break the tie, out here you may get a 1 or you may get a 3. Okay. So in our example here, the tie was broken by selecting the first term, k equals 1. Okay, so at this time we have pretty much computed all of the C and the K values that are needed. Once we have done this, completed the computation, we can conclude that the best way to compute the product of our four given matrices is going to cost 120 multiplications. Okay? So C14 gives us the cost of the best way to compute the sequence of the chain of products, and that's going to be 120. Okay? Of course, we're not interested just in the cost. We also want to know how are we going to multiply these four matrices so that the cost is 120. And for that, we're going to use a traceback procedure. And the traceback procedure is going to make use of the K values. Okay, so this matrix here is what's going to get used in figuring out the plan whose cost is going to be 120. Okay, so to figure out the plan, we're going to figure out the matrix products backwards, which is the last product to be done. So that's kind of the first decision. Okay, and so on. All right, so we want to compute C14, and K14 is going to give us the last product in the best way to compute C14. Okay, so K14 is a 1, and that tells us that the last product you want to do is something that's going to involve M11 times M24. Okay, so the best way to do M14 is M11 times M24. Then we proceed to figure out how do you do M11 and how do you do M24. To figure out M11, we can either come here and look at K11, which says 0, which means there's nothing involved, or we just compare these two indexes, they're the same. And that tells us that there's no product involved. Okay. All right, so M11 doesn't involve any product. You don't have any work to do to figure out the best way to compute M11. So what remains unresolved is M24. How are we going to compute M24 in the best possible manner? And for that, we repeat this argument, which says the best way to compute M24, the last product there is K24, by definition of K24. So that's 3. That's where you do the break, which means that you're going to do M23 times M44. Okay. All right, turning your attention now to these products here. M44, well, that's just a single matrix, so there's nothing involved out there. M23, we can take a look at the K value, which says K23 is a 2. So M23, the best way to do that is M22 times M33. Okay. And at this time, all of the M's that remain involve just singletons. Okay. I equals J, so this is just a single matrix, so there's no product there. That's a single matrix. And that one is a single matrix. So we're done. We've figured out the plan. Okay. So the plan is okay. Starting with M14, we're going to compute M14 by performing this product. Okay. We're going to get M24 by performing that product. Okay. We're going to get M23 by performing this product. All right, so there are 4 matrices, M1 through M4, that had to be multiplied. Our plan is going to have 3 matrix products, and here is the plan. Okay, it's constructed backwards, but now we can look at this bottom to top, and this thing says the first thing you want to do is take the second matrix and multiply it with the third one. Okay, and that's going to give you this. Once you've done that, you're going to take the result you just computed and multiply it with the fourth one. That'll give you M24. Once you've got that, you take the result you just computed and multiply it with the first matrix, and now you've got your answer. And the cost of this sequence is, sure enough, 120. Okay. Okay, so we first compute the C's and the K's. Once we have the C's and the K's, C1Q gives us the cost of the best possible plan. Then you use the K's to figure out the plan itself. The plan is constructed backwards in that it first gives you the last product you need to do, then the next two last, and so on. And when it comes time to actually computing your sequence, we use this plan in the reverse order in which it was generated, so bottom to top, as we just saw. Okay. All right, so now that we've seen the algorithm, we can worry about the time complexity. The time to compute all of the C values, okay. The number of C values you got to compute, okay, you got to do all of the ones in the upper triangle, and there are about Q square over 2 of those. You got order of Q square C values to compute. Okay. The first 2 diagonals come pretty cheap. Okay. You don't have to do anything here or there. Okay. But then you start using your recurrence. And as you go up, the recurrence gets more and more expensive to compute. Okay. When you're way up here, then you're taking the min of Q minus 1 choices. Okay. So the number of terms you're going to have on the right side over which you need to take the min is going to be Q minus 1 at most. And down below, it's 1 less than that, and so on. So you really have order of Q fellows across whom you have to take the min when you're computing each of the Q square CIJs. Okay. Each of these terms, of course, takes only order 1 time to compute because we already computed the C's that we need, and this product, you have to multiply 3 numbers together. Okay. So each CIJ is the min of order of Q terms, and each of these terms takes order 1 time to compute, which means that the time to compute all of your CIJs is going to be Q cubed. Okay. one unit for each of the order q terms, so order q to get each of the Cij's. You got q squared Cij's to compute. It's total of order of q raised to 3 amount of time. All right, then for the k values, okay, again, there are n squared of these k values to compute, and I guess once you're computing the c's, you can get the k in the same amount of time. So it really takes the order of q to the 3 time to get all of the k's, but that's the same q cubed time that was spent getting the c's. Okay. To do the traceback itself, okay, we're basically going to start by figuring out, well, what is k14? I just need to come and look in here. Once I have k14, I get the left and the right sequences, in this case, M11 and M24. Okay. So then I need to know what is K24. Okay. So each time I access this matrix pulling out a K, I figure out one of the Q minus 1 products that needs to be done in my optimal plan. Okay. There are Q minus 1 products, so basically I need to access my K matrix Q minus 1 times, which means that you can do the traceback in order of Q amount of time. Okay. All right, so to compute the C and the K matrices takes Q raised to 3 amount of time. To do the traceback, well, that's very fast. That's only order of Q amount of time. Okay. Okay, so that pretty much completes our dynamic programming algorithm for the sequence or the chain of matrices. And I guess next time we could take a look at a different example. Okay, thank you.